WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken, Not Haughty. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're listening on Twitch and you happen to have Prime Gaming subs, well, you can use them here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can get that free Prime Gaming sub. But if you just want to subscribe the regular way, if you want to follow, or if you just want to hang out, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. And, you know, check out our fine friends at MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So, I am Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/TheMaterialLife, and join us and interact with us here on the program. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, or at Lynn's Word throughout the night if you would like to comment over there. We have stuff to get into.
We do. So, in case you missed it on the pre-show, we are just doing NXT TakeOver on this show because it's a lot to talk about. We're coming out of a holiday. There isn't a ton of news. We do have one big news story that we have to address, and the rest we will save for next week, and we'll talk about next week. So, if you're here for any of the normal stuff, we're not doing it. Sorry. So tune in next week. But we're happy to have you hang around if you want to hang around. But there's one more thing that we have to do before we get into it.
Yeah. Let's hit that bumper.
We got to get him out of the basement.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark.
Go, go, go!
And here comes Dakota Kai, remember! She didn't... What the hell?
Intern Shark Kane Kittens.
Whoa,
What a hypothetical year it's been.
It's appropriate because it's the 1 year anniversary or a little bit after.
It is. And yeah, let's just say this year was hypothetical.
Yeah.
See what happens? This whole year is Dakota's fault. She just set the plan into motion.
I mean, is it really?
She sent the bad juju into the universe and here we are.
I think there was plenty of other people that sent some bad juju into the universe.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily just for one incident, but it is suspicious that happened and then all of a sudden the world went to hell.
Just saying.
So they have to kiss and make up, otherwise we're going to continue in this vicious cycle?
No. Well, something can happen at this event that can right all the wrongs.
It's entirely possible, and we're going to talk about it. But before we get into the show, which is NXT TakeOver War Games, we have to... And I hate doing these, because obviously it's no fun to talk about, and it's always very, very sad, generally, because of the subject matter. We lost someone this week. God damn it, Rob. We lost, very suddenly, Pat Patterson.
Yeah, former guest of the show. Former Intercontinental Champion Pat Patterson passed away yesterday, I believe, at the age of 79.
Mm-hmm. It's very sad because he wasn't sick, was he?
I haven't heard cause of death. I haven't heard much about it.
There wasn't publicized that, you know, things were going any certain way or anything like that. You know, we've heard in the past of other people having, you know, health issues and then things happen and you're kind of like, okay, you were kind of prepared. Yeah, this kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, this was legit out of nowhere. It just happened yesterday morning and it was like, oh my gosh, wow. So very unfortunately, we lost a good one. Everybody's favorite Uncle Pat, who always seemed like a nice man to me.
I had a chance to talk to him. He's awesome. He was an awesome guy.
You can tell by the outpouring of love and support for him exactly how beloved he was in the business and the community as a whole. And I know we generally see that with everybody, but in terms of a legend for people, the amount of people that he impacted and the amount of careers that he helped and the people that just generally loved him as a person, because people do it out of respect, but I think they genuinely did it from a place of love for him. It shows what he meant to wrestling as a whole.
If it wasn't for Pat Patterson, we would have no Royal Rumble.
Yep, the first Intercontinental Champion, the creator of the Royal Rumble, he definitely left a mark on this industry. But the other thing I think that's interesting is kind of touching on what Lindsay mentioned. You tend to get those general messages of like, oh, we lost a legend today. But it was the way people talked about it in the postings where it was like, you know, it was just like, number one, they were in disbelief. And number two, everyone was sharing stories of like just how great a guy Pat was. And like people were posting pictures of him with their kids and just like, you know, this is what I'll always remember. And you can just tell he was just a nice guy.
They did an awesome tribute on NXT, the singing My Way, and yeah, that was his famous song that he sung at all the karaoke bars.
And you know, Pat hit a lot of karaoke bars.
Oh yeah.
Pat.
No matter the town, Pat would go to the karaoke bar and sing My Way.
Well, that's why I said, you know, it's like he's kind of everybody's favorite wrestling uncle. Because I feel like that's what he was to all of us, was that wrestling uncle. Because even when he was a bad guy, you still kind of loved him.
Well, I was going to say, the thing that I think a lot of wrestling fans will remember him for, especially like our generation of wrestling fans, we didn't really get to see him as the Intercontinental Champion.
No.
Mm-mm.
We saw him as one of the Stooges.
Yeah, him and Gerald Briscoe.
Him and Jerry Briscoe, and just the crazy shit that they got up to by being Vince's lackey. And if anything, it was a ball gown match or something like that between him and Briscoe for the hardcore title.
Yeah, the evening gown match. Yeah,
were they dressed in drag?
And it was just one of those things where you're like, the hell? But
it worked.
Hey, Pat looked good.
Yeah, Pat just owned it. He took, you know, being in that match and just ran with it. And, you know, of course it's a comedy match, but you were honestly laughing because you were just like, this is fucking ridiculous, but I can't help but watch it.
I mean, you gotta love him for that. You just, mm-hmm. You gotta love him.
Yeah.
So sadly, we've lost Pat Patterson and the party in heaven just got a little bit more raucous because he just got there. And yeah. So I'm genuinely bummed by this because it was completely left, like out of left field with him. because, like I said, and that's why I keep asking the question, well, was he sick? Was something wrong? You know, because it's just, it seems like everything, you didn't hear much about him. He was very, very quiet the last few years. He only kind of did things here and there. And so you never really heard anything on his health. I think the last thing he did might have been Survivor Series. I think he was there for that, for Taker's retirement.
He may have been.
And then I think that's the last thing he did with WWE. So it's very, very fresh, and it's very, very recent for everybody. So Godspeed, Patton. Thank you very much for the memories.
Now we do the hard transition to NXT TakeOver this Sunday on the WWE Network. Which will be live next Sunday, right after it. Talk about it, the three of us taking over WTR Sunday night. It's the Rack Extra Reviews. Yeah, I kicked Tim off the show.
We just kicked Tim out of his slot. So, with that, let's jump right
in. Don't ever use those words together again.
What, kicked him out of a slot?
Yes.
I'm not sure why. It's perfectly innocent. I mean, you're assuming he can get it in the slot to begin with, but, you know.
Oh.
Love you, Tim. Anyway, let's jump right into the pay-per-view. Brought to you by our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And this is NXT TakeOver. War Games. And what
You got to do the Steven Regal style. War Games.
I don't have a deep enough voice for that. I can't do it. Also, my sinuses are bothering me, so it's like if I try to do it, I'm just going to like hack up a lung everywhere. So, let's jump right into the first match, which this promises to be really fun. I'm actually looking forward to this strictly from a wrestling perspective, because I'm fairly sure they're just going to try to kill each other, and that is Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher.
Mm-hmm. I remember we talked about this like 2 weeks ago when there were only essentially four matches on the card, and we're like, wait, there's typically a fifth. What could it be? Could it be the, like, a cruiserweight title match? Could it be this? And I think we thought it might be this, but also I think Rock was kind of like,
you don't really need it. You have four good matches,
but this is going to be two workhorses just beating the ever-living hell out of each other.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be like a good tweener match between like maybe one of the War Games match and either like the U.S. or the North American Championship or the strap match. Like it's just something that you can just slot in there in between something and it will still be really good.
What we can guarantee on this one, physicality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to take each other apart.
The thing I've loved about this is that we haven't really seen them touch leading up to this. I mean, we saw last night there was the
chokeout.
Yeah, there was the chokeout based upon distraction. But before that, it was, you know, Tommaso never really did anything. He was just there and Thatcher was distracted. That's all it was. Now they're actually going to get their hands on each other. And Thatcher's going to be, you know, his bruising style, his submissions. And Tommaso's just going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean, he will literally try to murder him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing Thatcher, it's going to be some really snug, really, you know, smacking shots that these guys are going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to pull a punch. They're going to smack each other.
Yeah.
I kind of can't wait for this, honestly. Like, this has that kind of big fight feel to it, because you just, like Brent said, you know it's going to be really close. You know they're going to be messing each other up. Safely! They're going to do it safely! But this will be physical. This will be aggressive. And, yeah, I don't even know who I want to win. I think everybody wins with this.
So, looking at how things are going, when it comes to, quote-unquote, big match situations, quote-unquote, Thatcher loses.
Yes.
He's been losing a lot in those situations. And then he rebounds and he does his shtick and what have you. But he hasn't had that defining moment that you thought he would. Like, they put him up against some good people and it's like, okay, you thought he could beat so-and-so or beat this guy or whatever. And he didn't. I think this is a defining moment for him on where he stands in terms of the hierarchy in NXT. We know Ciampa is Ciampa, and a loss won't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But a win here for Thatcher would elevate him in some manner. But after last night, him just choking out Tommaso that easy, it feels like Tommaso needs the revenge win.
The thing I liked about last night was going into the match, like you talked about, Thatcher has had a win here and there, you know, to like put him into certain positions, but he doesn't have that huge win yet. And so when this match is initially hinted at that, you know, oh, Ciampa's targeting Thatcher. You kind of look at that and you're like, oh, Tommaso's going to kill him. Last night served as that kind of check to that, though, where you're like, huh, Thatcher slapped that thing on, and instead of Ciampa being able to fight out of it, instead of people running down to help break it up, passed out. And that's a statement there, because all of a sudden it's like, wait, if Thatcher can apply that to him, that could be lights out. That could just be end of match, nothing else to it. And he could, and he just showed he can do it. He can do it very quickly. He can do it very easily. So I liked the way that that played out, but we've all seen kind of NXT WWE style logic, which is the person typically on high at the end of a night leading into the pay-per-view usually doesn't get the win at the pay-per-view. Other thing that's interesting about this is Tommaso's last big match that we saw was him getting decimated by Karrion Kross.
No, he's had matches.
He beat Jake Atlas.
No, he's had those matches with Dream and stuff. Dream and Kushida.
But Kushida was the one that was really coming out on those.
Yeah.
The last real big independent match of Ciampa, or I should say, like, in the spotlight Ciampa match, was Karrion Kross just annihilating him. I mean, he got a hope spot in, but we watched that and we were like, wow, that's a statement. And so when it comes to something like this, I feel like Ciampa kind of, not that he needs it, but it's again, like, he's been on high. They've kind of pulled him back off the burner a little bit, but that's what makes this match so interesting. It's the kind of thing of like, either guy can take, you can see either guy technically winning and it would be justified.
I think for me, Karrion is an exception to what they generally do, because they were in the process of establishing Karrion and setting him up to get the title. And I feel like that was the program for Tommaso, where he was going to feud with Karrion, and that went into a holding pattern because Karrion got hurt. And we don't know what his status is. We don't know when he's returning. I would wager it's soon, because he was out for, what, 6 weeks? Couple months, something like that.
Yeah,
we should be right up on it where he should be getting ready to return, because he and Scarlett have both kind of gone quiet on social media again, so it indicates to me that something's about to happen. But I think outside of Karrion, I feel like Tommaso needs to lose, because Thatcher's also been in a holding pattern, and I'm not entirely sure what he was supposed to be doing in this time frame, if he was supposed to be getting somebody else and they got moved into another storyline because they had to shift things around because of Karrion. So they've had Thatcher right there. He's been doing his little segments. He's been having some good matches, but I think just to boost him, and it could be something as simple as Cross comes back and crosses Tommaso, and he costs him the match, to basically send a message to Tommaso, sup, and you have Karrion and Tommaso feud for a little bit before you point Karrion right back at that title. Because I don't think Finn is 100% yet, and they've been very, very quiet on Finn for a reason.
He's working himself back into shape, as you see on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, he's not been factored into anything in this show. So I feel like a good way to come for Karrion to come back in is to either go after Tommaso or go after somebody else. They have a few matches to build Karrion really back up for that title.
But is Karrion ready?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there as a possibility. He could be. You could build him up to a match where they don't necessarily get physical. You just have Karrion kind of come out there and beat him up, or you even have Scarlett come out and start to tease Karrion's return, even if he's not ready. Like, he could play a factor in this match. I don't think he will, but that's one way that you could have Tommaso lose, where it doesn't hurt him as much because it's a DQ finish. Or he gets rolled up, he gets distracted, and he gets rolled up, and Thatcher gets the victory. And then Thatcher goes over, he kind of gets that little boost, even though it's not really a clean win, but it keeps him strong, and then Tommaso now has a target to point himself at, because we know Tommaso's always better when he has a target.
Yeah, I can see something along the lines of a distraction again, either from one of Thatcher's kids, either way, honestly, because I could see something where Tommaso gets distracted, Thatcher can apply either that guillotine again or some other kind of thing in order to get the win, or this is the chance that we've seen. What's the kid's name? The one that Thatcher just kept beating up.
Mustache Dude?
Yeah.
I don't know. I forget the name.
But, like, remember, he's been, like, a target of Thatcher for a little while, and he kind of fought back. And what if this is the chance where he can kind of, like, get that one up on Thatcher, and Tommaso gets the hard-fought win, and then Thatcher has, you know, you're trying to build up someone else while still showcasing Thatcher with a new angle.
Yeah, I think that's completely doable as well.
All right, Brent, who you got?
I understand your logic of Thatcher getting the win here in order to like help him, but I just see what happened last night with him choking out Tommaso, and I don't see that happening again on the big stage. I think it was a showcase of what could happen, but I ultimately see Tommaso getting the win here to keep the thing going of kind of overlooking the locker room.
Lindsay?
I'm going to give it to Thatcher just because I feel like he does need that little bit of a boost more than Tommaso does, because you can put Tommaso in a match and he can get that win back so easy. It's not even a question. But Thatcher, like I said, he's been in that holding pattern. I want to see them do something with him. I want to see them elevate him. And I feel like Tommaso losing to Thatcher, one, sends a message, and two, gives Tommaso someone to go after until they find him something to do.
I'm going Ciampa because I don't think they know what they want to do with Thatcher. I don't think they're ready to elevate him yet. Magic 8-Ball. Will Tommaso Ciampa beat Timothy Thatcher? My sources say nope. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
And that would be Thatcher.
Oh god, I'm aligned with the 8-Ball and the wheel. We're doomed.
What's this wee stuff? I'm with Rock. We're good.
Anyway, next, in a match where he's probably going to die, Cameron Grimes is taking on Dexter Lumis. And if it wasn't already kinky enough with a blindfold match previously and a haunted house match previously, y'all were breaking out the restraints and the straps because it's going to be a leather strap match where they're going to be tied together.
So no one
with a very long strap in between.
No one
them.
Won the blindfold match. Blindfold. Right?
I don't think it ever started, did it?
I think it started, but
I think it started, but it was a no contest because the referee went down and then. It went to hell.
The referee did not go down. Cameron beat the shit out of the referee. And then he ran like a little bitch.
Same thing. close enough. And Dexter, I guess, technically won Haunted House.
Yeah, Dexter won that because he got the pinfall on that. After the zombies came for Cameron's soul.
Cameron Grimes is going to take one for the team.
Cameron Grimes is going to die.
Yeah,
his back is going to be lit up on Sunday.
I want this to be nothing short of a full-blown, he took him to the woodshed type of beating. I'm sorry, Cameron. I love you, honey. I really do. I hate that I love you, but I love you.
Cameron's going to do a lot
but
of
I
wanna choking.
But I want to see you get your ass whooped.
He's going to get his ass whooped, but he's going to do a lot of choking with that strap on Dexter. Thinking he has him, but it's really not going to do much to Dexter.
Yeah, you're going to see the strap used in interesting ways. Like, we all know Dexter's going to use it as the tether. Like, Cameron's going to try and find every which way to get out of that ring and try to get as far away as possible, and Dexter is going to stop him with that strap. Now, that also means that Cameron will probably, like, pull Dexter into the ring post because they're on either side of it. He's going to find... He'll have a hope spot or two here and there because you kind of need it. You need him to at least... put up a fight.
This is going to be one of those matches that is not the norm for TakeOver. No. Because it's going to be more of a comedy-ish match.
It's
going to
be a story match more than anything.
Yeah, it's going to be more, it's not as going to be as a serious as the catch-as-can style of match in the Ciampa Thatcher match. It's going to be more story-based and Cameron screaming a lot.
But what I want them to showcase is how dangerous Dexter is, because we always get that sense from him just from the sheer look and the very cold stare that he has.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really never been showcased that much in terms of how far he's willing to go, essentially. We've seen him beat people up. We've seen the aftercare. We've seen all that other stuff. I want to see how far Dexter Lumis is willing to go, especially to win a match, and see if the expectation lives up to reality.
Well, and the one thing is, I think you can do that, and the thing that will make it even scarier is if he does keep that calm demeanor the entire time, because we've talked about this before in other instances, but one of the movies I love more than anything is The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And Heath Ledger did such a great job in that role, only because we've seen the Joker before in other movies. He's just crazy. What Ledger brought to that role was a calm sensibility to it, which made it even creepier.
Oh, yeah.
because it was the whole thing of, like, do I really look like someone that has a plan? But yes, he had a plan. He had an entire, you know, novel written out of what was going to happen, and he just played the part, put people where they needed to, and just was calm the entire time. Now, he had manic moments, but for the most part, he was composed, he was collected, and that's what made him scary, was the fact that someone could put all of that together and be calm and enjoy it, essentially. That's exactly what Dexter can do in this match, where, like you said, he can be utterly intimidating. He can lay a whooping to Cameron Grimes and just be stoic the entire time it's going on. Because we've seen the opposite with someone like, and I know we hate to bring up his name, but someone like a Lars Sullivan, who's beating people up and screaming and crazed. And you're just like, okay, he's just a maniac.
I think the one thing I would say is if Dexter shows any kind of emotion, I almost want to see him savor the end just a little bit, just to see that sense of finally, because I feel like he enjoys the hunt. He enjoys fucking with people, but I think he's in it for the kill, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he wants. That's essentially, for lack of a better term, that's what gets him off, is the win, is the kill. And he's had to hunt Cameron, and he beat him once, and now he's had to continue to hunt him because that kill wasn't 100% satisfying for him in a way, and I'm completely projecting onto this, but because there were outside elements that contributed to that victory, it wasn't enough for Dexter. He needs more. He needs that really satisfying one-on-one, just him, Cameron, and some kind of torture device in a ring where Dexter gets the victory and he defeats Cameron once and for all on his own, by himself, with no one else. Because ultimately, Dexter's a loner.
Yeah. Well, he wanted the dream. The dream just didn't want him back.
He tried.
He tried to shoot that shot. But the one thing that's great about this match is, if you're going to have a strap match, the one person you want to see on the other end of that absolutely receiving punishment is the Wyatt reject.
Okay, and here's the thing with Cameron. Because he's shown moments of it where he can be more serious and he can be ruthless and he can be vicious. He's seen it. He's done it. Like, once or twice in this story, I think, with what led up to the blindfold match where he went and got his balls back from Bray and went after Dexter and pissed Dexter off, which is what brought us to the blindfold match. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of that, a little bit of that from Cameron. I really wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I would actually be okay to see some of that more serious, darker, vicious side of him. Not a lot. Like, he doesn't have to do it the whole match, but maybe it's like he just gets fed up, right? He gets fed up of running. He realizes he's not going to get away. He's tired of Dexter wailing on him, so he's going to fight back. He's going to fight the monster once and for all. And he goes for Dexter, and he beats the shit out of Dexter. And even if that's the initial opening in the match, Cameron summons all of his gumption, all the courage he needs. He goes for Dexter, and it's not enough. And then he's just got to take his whooping like a man from there on in.
What if that's what Dexter is looking for in Cameron, is him to actually fight? Because, you know, we saw with Dexter in the dream, it was, you know, he was helping the dream out, but then it was kind of like he saw something in him, and that's what, like, drew him in. What if he's trying to bring something out in Cameron?
That's a possibility.
I think Dexter, because I'm not quite sure, again, this is projection, one of the other things could be is that Dexter sees Cameron's true self, or he sees what, and he's not really a Wyatt reject, but what they're hypothetically, what Bray could have either instilled in Dexter or brought out of Dexter by being a part of the compound and the family. Because again, he was not, okay? He was not. That's just my made up backstory for Cameron. But whoever instilled that in him, or maybe that's who he was before and he changed, and Dexter's trying to bring him back to that. Basically bring out his true self. Although that would be awesome if it turned out Cameron was a Wyatt reject.
Okay, I could connect your dots for you.
Oh, God.
Because I think Brett knows where I'm going with this. So, Cameron Grimes could be a Wyatt reject because he was formerly known as Trevor Lee. He was trained in North Carolina, specifically in Cameron, North Carolina, by the Hardy Boys.
No!
It's delightful.
He's one of that crew. He's one of the Omega crew with Matt and Jeff. He's one of their disciples in that whole lineage. He's technically tied to Matt Hardy, which is tied to Bray Wyatt. There's your Wyatt reject. Boom, goes the Dynamite. She hates it now.
7 degrees of Bray Wyatt. It's like 7 shades of Kevin Bacon. So much worse.
Yes. Rock, it's delightful.
I absolutely love that.
But I mean, he could be. It's like, just based on the whole look, the whole presentation, he looks like he was picked up specifically to be a part of the Wyatt family, or be there in case they ever reform it, because, you know, they got rid of the two original ones, and one's off leading his own cult, and the other one, I have no idea where the hell he is, but they're not there anymore.
He's listening to Swedish rock music.
Apparently. And doing other things. I'm not... Apparently doing his wife.
Heyo!
So, long story... But, go ahead.
So it's like, I feel like they picked Cameron up, not only because he's very talented, but in case they ever need to reform the family, they got it. At least one of them right there.
Okay, so long story short, who you got, Lindsay?
I think across the board for all of us, it's Dexter, right? There's conceivably no way Cameron beats Dexter Lumis in a strap match. Unless he just gets really lucky.
You know what? Here's the thing. It depends what rules they go with for a strap match.
The four corner.
If they go four corners, there is a slimy way he can win. And if he does, you will never hear the end of it.
I'm okay if I never hear the end of it, because if this feud continues and we eventually go to something like a cage match, I'm actually really enjoying this feud. I'm really enjoying the fact that Cameron keeps getting away from Dexter. And just continue. Because remember, Dexter's the one that called for the stip. Dexter's the one that introduced the strap. It wasn't Cameron. It wasn't Regal. It was Dexter showed up with a leather strap and was like, motherfucker, we gonna go.
I'm going to attach you to me.
I'm going to make sure you can't run away anymore. And we're going to finish this because I'm tired of chasing you. I'm tired of pursuing my prey. I'm ready to get off and get the kill. So let's go.
Okay. So you're going Dexter, Brent, you're going.
I'm going Dexter, but I also, like I said, part of that is dependent upon what the ultimate rules to the match are. If it's the four corner stip, God, I could see a way that Cameron wins it, because it would be I could see it be something like Eddie JBL.
Yeah.
Where Dexter's like carrying him around, and when they get to the last corner, he like does a pull on the strap to get him to go towards the corner, and Cameron like weasels his way to touching the corner before Dexter and wins it. I could absolutely see that happen. And again, if that does, then it gives Cameron just something to talk about. Like we mentioned when he was going to be in the North American title ladder match. God, if he held that belt, you would never hear the end of it. But it would be so great for every segment he was on. But if it's just a regular match where it just so happens that they're tethered, it's Dexter's going to beat him to high holy heaven and then choke his ass out with the strap and cuddle with him afterwards in the afterglow.
Dexter is going to hog tie Cameron call tonight. I'm going Dexter Lumis. Magic 8-Ball will... Cameron Grimes get the win on Sunday. Outlook good.
Oh.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Which would be Cameron Grimes.
The inanimate objects love themselves some Cameron Grimes.
They love some Cameron Grimes. By the way,
to the moon, baby, to the moon.
By the way, you're listening to The Wreck right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Hey, chat, got a question for you. Season 5 of Fortnite just dropped. Did you know you can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop or the Epic Game Store? If you didn't, now you know. Do the thing. #@@partner.
They just dropped Kratos, however you say it, in the item shop, so go pick him up. There's a very creepy black back bling that's a head that moves. It's weird.
It would be the perfect back bling for Bray Wyatt.
No.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be, but no.
All right, what's next?
Up next, we have the North American Championship on the line as Leon Ruff, who in recent weeks has been able to evade both Johnny Gargano and Damian Priest, takes on both of them for the title. The origin of this is that Johnny wanted to break the curse of his first match title defense loss record. He challenged Leon Ruff to a match, and Damian Priest.
No, he didn't challenge him. He spun a wheel.
Okay, fine. He spun a wheel, and it landed on Leon Ruff, and Leon Ruff, through the help of Damian Priest, won the title from Johnny Gargano, and then from there, Damian and Johnny have kind of chased after Leon to try and get the title back.
The best was, it was Leon and Johnny in the rematch, and Damian Sorry, kid. Whack.
Punches him right in the face, yeah.
That was good. The night Leon won and Damian raised his hand and the belt just shot straight to the ground was great. Now, Lindsay, to be fair, technically it wasn't Leon Ruff who got picked for the mat. It was Austin Theory who had quit, and therefore his space was taken by another star. Just so happened to be Leon Ruff.
There is no way Leon Ruff walks out North American champion on Sunday, right?
Hang on, Rock.
I mean, there is.
No one thought Leon Ruff had a chance to win the first time.
There's no way Leon Ruff is walking out with the title on Sunday, right?
To be fair, I honestly think that it's probably going to be Johnny just because he has the Ghostface backup. And that was another thing that we that played a role in this match was that Damian lost the belt initially to Johnny because of a Ghostface interference.
You mean John Cena? Because he posted a picture of John Cena wearing the mask.
I thought it was Triple H.
No.
It could have been Karrion Kross for all we know. But the interesting thing was, so it started off as the one Ghostface person. Well, actually, one each because it was Johnny and Candace had their own, it seemed.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out who Candace's was in Indy Hartwell,
mm-hmm.
but we have yet to figure out who Johnny's is. And somehow it's gone through mitosis and split into two, as we saw last night.
They're just adopting children.
Former WCW champion David Arquette.
It's Glacier. And Mortis.
Oh my god, oh.
No. That's the other place.
It could be Mordecai.
You know what? It's Mark Calloway.
Taker's
gone, but Mark,
on the other hand, needs something to do.
And if one is Mark, we know Glenn could be the other.
Glenn's marrying.
So,
but he has nights off. He can.
Yeah,
he has a wife.
She can let him take a flight down to Florida every now and then. It's fine.
It's Brian Lee.
It's the Underfaker.
The mortician.
Anyway.
They'll call him Morty for short.
It's Eggman.
Could be a good match.
The sommelier. It could be the sommelier.
The thing I like about this match is everyone, I think, is writing off Leon Ruff.
Well, you should.
Justifiably, because, I mean, the guy's about 130 pounds soaking wet. By the way, let's just take this moment and say congratulations to Leon Ruff, who got engaged this week.
Go ham.
To one of the NXT referees. Go you, son. But I think this will be used to spotlight him a little bit, because we all know that Johnny and Damian are going to try and just beat each other up. They're going to dismiss Leon. And I think that'll play into the whole, you know, Leon Ruff is tired of being a joke. So those two are going to just fight it out. And kind of be like, you go sit off in the corner, kid. We're not going to worry about you. And he'll have those spots where he comes out and he'll actually impress in brief moments where he can pull off some of the high-flying moves. And all of a sudden, it's going to be like, oh, we need to kind of deal with this now.
If you don't open up with a War Games, this should be your opener.
Agreed. See, I almost want Leon Ruff to keep the title because I like it with him. They're making him with it. And with the storyline, because Damian doesn't necessarily really need it. Johnny certainly doesn't need it. You can continue the feud between Johnny and Damian without the title. It's just another added layer, but I like the idea of Leon getting the victory over both of them, despite the fact that Johnny has backup and Damian Priest is just Damian Priest, and he overcomes all those odds and he wins the title on his own without any help.
Yeah. But I don't see where Leon who's next in line for Leon, though.
Well, you can always find somebody.
You always find someone, but it's like, I don't see it, you know what I mean? Which is why I don't think he keeps the belt.
But then who do you put Johnny with?
You finish Johnny and Damian off one-on-one, and then you go from there.
Now, do you think we find out who one of the ghosts are?
Probably.
Yeah, probably. Don't know who. I'd rather not speculate other than the randoms we named, because the surprise is awesome.
Part of me wants it to be someone that, like, they're going after Damian specifically,
mm-hmm.
and Johnny has just kind of aligned with them, because so far they've just targeted Damian.
Who's an enemy of Gargano's?
Everybody.
Tommaso, but okay, not him.
Not him, but, like, who is Johnny pissed off?
Everybody.
I was going to say the NXT universe
But if you find someone from Johnny's past that he sort of screwed around with, it would be a fun thing where the masked guy comes out. Johnny thinks he's on his side, and it's revealed as someone who's not actually the person Johnny thinks it is.
The only person I can think of that has kind of feuded with Johnny, but it would never work out, would be Finn.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because they had that feud where Finn turned on Johnny, dropped him on his head, and then they had that brutal takeover match.
Mm-hmm.
For the heart of NXT.
Not Karrion Kross, no.
No.
Cross
is bigger than both those guys combined.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, just kind of scrolling through his history, he got denied, but Aleister Black could be one. Killian Dane's down there. He could be another. Lars.
Black would be interesting if they brought him back to NXT.
That would be a way, but I don't think he's allowed back.
I don't think they want him back in NXT, but God, they should let him.
I mean, Balor's another one, but yeah, they should put him.
But anyway, that's beside the point.
Wait! I found it. Oh, I found who's under the mask. I know who it is. He's been missing for a while. We're not quite sure what happened to him, but there's this Dominik Dijakovic guy. He could come back. He could be under the mask.
Honestly, I was thinking, like, what if it was Retribution?
Okay.
I know they won't do it. I know, because they've got them up on the main roster for a reason, you think. But part of me was like, what if Johnny aligned with them for the whole, like, I've been wronged gimmick? What if he's, like, the NXT component of that?
He could be, but I don't see how that would work.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah. It's wishful thinking.
Anyway, who you got? Linda.
I really want it to be Leon, but I don't think it's gonna be.
Have the heart and pick him. Pick with your heart.
You want Leon Ruff. Why not?
Right.
I don't have the heart. I'm going Gargano. Due to ghost face chicanery.
All right, I'll go Damian Priest. Why not?
We're gonna take a horse and run with it.
Yeah, let's do it. 8-Ball, will Leon Ruff retain the title? 8-Ball says yes.
Oh no, he's doomed.
Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Leon Ruff.
No!
This could either work out really well for you, Lindsay, or this could sink your chances.
I think it's going to sink my chances.
Hey, chat, this is a reminder. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can just subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. Do the thing right now. See if you have one available. See if your mother, father, uncle, stepbrother, see if they have one, and let them use it so you can subscribe here for free by clicking that purple rectangular button.
All right, and last but certainly not least, we have the final two matches. Both of these are Brent, please do the thing.
War Games!
Up first, we have Team Shotzi, who won the advantage last night on NXT, where it's Shotzi, Ember, Rhea, and they found a fourth in one Io Shirai. Basically, Team Punk taking on Team Candice, which is Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm.
The newly minted heel, Toni Storm.
God damn it, Toni. I still think you're absolutely adorable, but god damn it, Toni.
I love last night. They're getting all physical, but she has to make sure her pants stayed up in the bra.
Yeah, gotta make sure, you don't want to go bare ass on U.S. television. That's not a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
So there was two things about last night. Number one, there was that brawl. And number two, there was possibly the most impressive feat of strength, I will say, I've seen from someone in terms of Raquel Gonzalez. When Io Shirai came out to try and prevent Raquel from getting the advantage, she jumped from the top rope. She did the springboard off the top rope, landed on Raquel's back, and not only did Raquel not flinch, not lose any balance, she kept climbing with a grown-ass woman on her back. And Io had this look like, what the hell do I do now?
Io was Spider Monkey trying to get on her back.
She was Spider Monkey, and she was doing everything in her human, in her Sky Princess powers to try and stop her. But I loved that, and the other thing I loved was that they had the opposing teams on, like, elevated platforms behind the announcers watching this entire thing go down.
Which is where they'll be probably on Sunday. Last time they had them in cages.
And we all know what happened.
We all know what happened when the cage door gets smashed on someone.
Hypothetically. 1 year later, hypothetically.
1 year later, hypothetically. I liked how they've built this. I've liked how they built Team Candace from the fact that we all thought it was going to be Ember and Tony, Ember and Tony, Ember and Tony, and then Tony was like, nope.
Well, and they built it into storyline in that it was originally supposed to be Indy Hartwell, but she, I guess, quote-unquote, got injured.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Tony's spot came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tony joined that, and then, yeah, the build was interesting because it's like you had the entire Team Candace built, and Team Shotzi was coming apart, or is coming in piece by piece. Because it was like, oh, these are all the people that Team Candace has wronged, and now they're like, we're gonna get vengeance.
And I love how they all got matching outfits, too. Like, they're all just running around like a bunch of goth punk chicks. Like, I love that. I love how Ember dressed to match Shotzi and Rhea. Cause she's like, apparently I am not punk enough for this. So, you know, we're just gonna step this up.
She ran to Hot Topic with mom's credit card and came back goth.
Can we talk about what they were building?
They're rebuilding the tank.
Yeah. Candace destroyed, this all started with Candace destroying the tank, the sentimental tank of Shotzi Blackheart, and now she's gone full Terminator in building a new one, and Ember and Rhea are just bringing her parts.
And they brought her something that glows.
The engine.
Something. We're going to see something magical on Sunday when she comes out. I like that they positioned her as the captain. Because Rhea or Io or Ember could be the captain, but no, it's Shotzi Blackheart. It means they see something in her. Like, well, she was in the advertising for Halloween Havoc. She was the host.
Going to say, they've been slowly building her. She's been a little bit of enhancement talent for, you know, like, help with other people because she is a very good worker in the ring. But she just has that natural personality that, Hunter just looks at her and I think he could be like, yeah, she has that factor that fans just gravitate to. Rhea's just dominant. Mm-hmm. Ember, we've seen before, and people like Io and kind of her edge. But yeah, this is that time for Shotzi to really shine.
And you're going to hate when I say this, she took Tegan's spot.
I know. Well, yeah, she took Tegan's spot, especially because Tegan, she's just had a real run of bad luck with injuries.
Yeah.
It was the first knee injury that derailed her from the first Mae Young Classic, because she was supposed to have a good run in that. Then she came back for the second Mae Young, and she was going to win from what we heard.
She was going to win the second one, yeah.
And then she blew out her knee in spectacular fashion. And she's just, yeah, as soon as she really gets that momentum going, it just seems like something big comes along and just bites her.
I think what Shotzi has that Rhea in particular doesn't have is that likability factor.
That charm.
Rhea's charming. Rhea, you like Rhea, but Rhea's very intimidating. Ember can be very intimidating. Io can be very intimidating. Shotzi is intimidating, but it's not in a way where you feel almost a little threatened, especially in like Rhea's case, where it's like, oh god, this bitch is just gonna fuck me up. Shotzi is, she can either be your best friend or she can be your worst enemy, and there's no in between. And I think that's why they've got her as that leader, is they've kind of got her as that unifying piece of the team, where these three other women who really don't know each other, really don't necessarily like each other, but they want to get revenge on the other girls, are like, all right, we're just going to hook up with Shotzi, and in the process, we're going to do the whole, we're going to build the tank montage, and suddenly we're all BFFs.
Yeah, Shotzi is, for lack of a better term, especially for the person who runs NXT right now, she is your foxhole buddy.
Yep.
She's the one that, honestly, if you were going to go into war, Rhea is your muscle. She's your heavy. Shotzi is the shot caller. Mm-hmm. She's the person that's going to set everything into motion. The one thing I really want to see out of this before the match, and it'll never happen, but I just want to see Rhea walk over to Candace and just be like, you remember what happened last year with this one? And just point at Dakota and just walk away. Because remember, they were the only two people on that team that got in the ring because of the third. And I would love to see that seed planted. And all of a sudden Dakota sitting there just like, what? What guy? Oh shit.
The fact that hasn't come up yet is really interesting. Because you think somebody would have brought it up. Would have said something about that.
Yeah, I just want Candace to just be like, we're cool, right? you're not, because I'm not gonna, we're,
they're gonna
we're
make,
okay.
they're going to make Dakota go in first. I have a feeling that's what's going to happen on Sunday, is Candace is suddenly going to remember last year. She's going to have flashbacks, and she's going to be like, you're in first.
They're all walking to the tower, and she just turns and just goes, nope, get in the ring.
You in the ring. You go.
And Dakota's like, okay, that's fair. It's fair.
Fair. Yeah.
It's fair. Get it.
I get it. We're good. Yeah.
Okay, so who wins?
Oh, God.
I've been thinking about this throughout the day, and I think you're going to have a certain result happen in the other war games, and I think they'll go on last.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, I think the fact that the way that that one's going to go, you need to have something offset. So I see Team Candace winning, especially because your big moment for this match is going to be Shotzi getting her tank. So you'll have that feel-good moment when she comes rolling out in whatever her new tank is. Part of me wants her to come in last, but it won't work because they have the advantage. So it means essentially that she's going to come out first.
See, what I want to have happen with that is I want them to get the actual tank and have all four women roll up on it.
That's why I figured that's going to happen.
Is that that's what she's building, is something that all four of them can roll up in.
Oh my god, they're getting the DX tank back.
They could.
They could bring out like the Jeep the DX would ride in and just have it modified.
If anybody would give it to Shotzi, it would be Hunter. Because he loves her. That she is their green-haired daughter.
Yeah.
Like, Hunter loves her. He legit loves her. So I think he would do just about anything for her.
And I think, if anything, TakeOver is where we've seen you go big. Like, Sasha rolled out in her Escalade with security.
Funny. And yeah, that was still the best entrance ever.
You've had, you know, Finn with his best demon entrances at TakeOver. This is those moments where when you want to elevate someone, they're given that special moment, and this is Shotzi's turn, and yeah, she's getting some kind of artillery. It's not going to be the small roll-in tank. This is going to be possibly, you know, Rusev at WrestleMania rolling in with the tank.
I think the heels need this more than the faces do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Tony turning, you need to establish Candace. You need the four girls on Team Candace are the threats to Io. They need to look strong, because if they don't, then Io has no challengers. I'm going with Brent with Team Candace.
Wait, last year? Oh shit!
What?
Last year they did do two face teams winning war games.
Then okay, that's fine.
Because you that was the two women winning the faces for the women after the attack. And then the hypothetical attack. And
no, he said it. He said it. He admitted it. There you go.
We got it. We got it on film.
And then the men was Kevin coming out as the surprise fourth and winning that match.
You always don't need to even it out, but I think the heels need it more. I'm going Team Candace.
Yeah.
Lindsay?
This is hard because it's like, you look at Team Shotzi and you look at who's on Team Shotzi, and it's like, that is the stronger team, no offense to the other girls at all, but you have Shotzi, who's getting pushed to the moon. You have Ember, who's a former NXT Women's Champion and just badass. You have Rhea Ripley, who's a former NXT Women's Champion, former UK champion, and you have Io Shirai, who is the current sitting NXT Women's Champion. You got a lot of power in that group right there. Then you go look at Team Candace, and yes, you have Candice LeRae, who the bell has eluded her, but it's Candice LeRae. She can take a whooping and keep going. Dakota Kai can take a whooping and keep going. Raquel Gonzalez, who's your powerhouse, but she's fairly new to the group. And then you have Toni Storm, who is a former NXT UK Women's Champion herself. Between the two, Team Candace is, at least to me, the weaker team, and logic states that it should be Team Shotzi, just because you have that feel-good moment of the four of them standing tall. But I feel like something's going to happen to Shotzi's team. I don't know, because just the way that they're booking it, the way that they're putting it together, it's like, I feel like Candace and the girls are going to try to pull one out, especially since Candace has Indy Hartwell in her back pocket,
mm-hmm.
and how is that going to play? And Candace could pull out a few other surprises as well as she needs to. I agree, Team Candace, that group of girls needs that win more. And logically, it makes sense if Shotzi's team wins, but Candace needs the win bad. Dakota and Raquel need it. They've kind of been knocked down a tier or two. And since you just turned Tony heel, like you just did it, Tony should almost get the win.
Probably. I want to put this before I go to 8-Ball. Brent, so you said there were baby faces won both last year, right?
Yeah.
When it came to women, Shayna was your champion at that point.
Yeah.
So you had to make the challengers for her so you could do the same thing this year.
Right. And that was when we first saw Rhea come out.
That was her weekend.
Yeah, that was her weekend, and that was the moment where she handcuffed herself to Shayna and put her through the chair.
Yeah. Alright, Magic 8-Ball, does Team Shotzi win? You may rely on it. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Which would be Team Shotzi.
Okay.
So I have Team Heel and Team Tank. Got it.
All right, and the last match on this card. They're back. They're united. They're undisputed. You have Undisputed Era, all four members, taking on Team Pat McAfee, which is comprised of Pat McAfee himself, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan.
Pat's Pack, or the Kings of NXT, or whatever name they've come up with. Whatever.
Kings of NXT is what they call themselves.
Whatever it is. Pat lost that takeover, whatever the last big takeover was.
But he did it in spectacular fashion.
He did. He impressed a lot of people. And since then, like, that was the crux of Pat's revenge, I guess is the best way to put it. Which is why he's built this team around him to take out Undisputed Era. And as we saw, Undisputed Era has come out. They're back for revenge now. They're ready to go.
They finally have somewhat, like, an equal level challenge. Because before, when anyone was taking on the Undisputed Era, it was always the Era had numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, you know, someone going after Adam or the tag belts, but you still had the other guy or two in reserve. Yeah, they'd unite for, like, a War Games, you know, sub-team to go up against them, and the Era would more than likely lose. But, yeah, now you actually have a rival group of four people who took them to the woodshed piece by piece, and now they're pissed.
When it comes to this match, Pat is great on the mic. Like, he's sold this and made every effort to make this mean something. You look at the guys on his squad, and as good as Burch and Oney are, even though they're tag champs, it's just they're missing something, and I think Pat helps with that. They're really badass in the ring, and this battle is going to be brutal as hell. Ooh.
This is going to be a physical match. This is going to be Thatcher Ciampa levels of physicality here.
Yeah, they're just going to beat the shit out of each other.
Pete Dunne's the wild card, because if they're looking to make Pete the next challenger for Finn, this is where Pete should dominate.
Well, I mean, out of Pat McAfee's team, Pete Dunne has the experience.
Well, yeah, but
he's the most accomplished of the group.
He is the most accomplished. I'm just like, it's like he should be the showcase of this match.
I agree.
If that's the direction they want to go.
For Pat's team, yes. I honestly think, though, the person who's going to come out of this the best overall is Kyle.
Oh, yeah. They're looking to push Pete, and they're looking to push Kyle. But they'll keep Adam, and they'll keep Roddy, and they'll keep Bobby Fish all right there.
Oh, yeah.
With it. Because they've got Adam Cole kind of on that cooldown cycle right now. They're resting him. They're healing him up. I think they're honestly kind of getting him ready a little bit for Mania season. Just to have him in reserve and make sure everything's good to go there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who to pick.
The one thing that could be interesting is, so for the longest time we've talked about, you know, is the Era going to split?
Mm-hmm.
What would make it most impactful is if they were quote unquote united, as we've seen over the past 2 or 3 weeks, where they're really showing this strong front. But what if you had someone like, this was the event where you saw someone like a Roddy or a Bobby split away at the end?
That's what I was kind of thinking. Do we see the fractures in the Undisputed Era? Because Bobby Fish is kind of been pushed off to the side a lot. I think part of that is because he's laying low due to current situation, and so he's not there as much. But I could see Bobby Fish sort of being resentful in the fact that they've all moved on without him, essentially. And he's the one that Dakotas it a little bit.
Well, and the other interesting thing of going into this match, you had Ridge Holland, who was supposed to be, my guess, one of the four there.
I think he was
going to take Pete's spot.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Which would be really weird seeing Pat McAfee and Ridge Holland together, because it's essentially one in the same. Just one's British. But yeah, it would be interesting because if you remember, Holland attacked Adam Cole and then Roddy and Bobby came down, and when they were like, who did this? It seemed a little overdramatic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rumor going around was that Adam and Kyle were going to become the two faces of the company, which in theory could mean that Roddy and Bobby may not. So it's interesting. It's one of those things, like, I could see the Undisputed Era winning here because they've kind of split their War Games matches in terms of wins and losses for the ones they've been in. And a united Undisputed Era could show that they are still atop the NXT without really hurting Pat McAfee or Pete Dunne or any of that group. But if you're going to pull a trigger, this could be the best spot to do it in.
So you're going Team McAfee then?
I don't know. Come back to me.
No. Now.
Because I went Team Heel, I think you've got to get the... I think this will end with the faces. I think this will end with them winning. If you're going to do a turn, you can do it a little later on. But I'll go Yui over McAfee.
Lindsay?
I think the Kings of NXT take it. I think you need to have Pat McAfee have something to talk about. I think you need to have him have something that he can rub in Undisputed Era's face beyond the fact that they have the tag titles. And I think that would be a great way to do it. It's also a way to establish Pete Dunne as a monster heel in that company and continue his growth on that end of things. Because when we've seen Pete in the past, he's always kind of been a babyface. So now this is him turning heel, going heel, and growing him out that way. Because I think at some point, you know, if you want to make her, like you said, a contender for Finn, you really have to do it up for him. And this is the perfect place to do it, where he just goes in and he dominates. And he shows exactly who he is in terms of the bruiserweight. Because we haven't seen that guy in a really long time. And when I say really long time, I mean like March. But that's a while. That's a long time. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Team McAfee. I think they pick up the victory. I think we see the fractures in Undisputed Era here, whether somebody gets taken out beforehand or somebody does something stupid and it costs them the match, and then you see the fracture start to happen that way. Because they've made a really strong showing of Undisputed Era being unified. Like, they had that very weird dinner date on the show where they had a limo and they went to a restaurant and they were all in suits, and it was a little strange. But it was that show of unity that's like, are you really that unified? I have to wonder. So I'm going to say Team McAfee.
I'm torn.
We've made cases, Rock.
Yeah.
I feel like Undisputed Era winning is a little too predictable, and I don't know if they want to go predictable.
If they're supposed to be Kings of NXT, Kings of NXT have to win this match. I'm going Team McAfee. Magic 8-Ball, does Undisputed Era win on Sunday? Better not tell you.
8-Ball!
There you go on that one. And Magic Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Undisputed Era.
Okay, Just make sure 8-Ball went who?
Better not tell you, so that they went Team McAfee.
Okay, Pat.
So that does it.
I think that does it for us. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
This Sunday we'll be live to talk all things NXT TakeOver live once the show ends. So join us then. Probably 9:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be live in that window. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. It's not just any edition. It is the Decade Plus 3. Tune in for all that. CBRadio.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. As mentioned, we'll be live on Sunday. There is no Russell Talk Radio. We're taking their spot. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Hey, Lindsay. We've done some stuff in this week.
Yeah, we've been a little busy.
We talked to Rob Schallenberger last Friday. That's available.
We talked to Uli Latukifu.
On Wednesday. We dropped that on Wednesday.
So we have Ms. and Mrs.
And we have Ms. and Mrs. dropped like 25 minutes ago. So there's content. Go download the podcast right now. Do the thing. The Rack Radio Show on all your social media platforms. The Rack Radio Show on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We're there. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. If you have Fortnite Battle Royale, the Ultimate Battle Royale experience, you can use creator code Rocket Sock in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. #@#partner.
Brent. Brent, you got stuff to plug away, so go ahead.
I have stuff to plug. Oh. Now you can, if you want to find me on Twitter, you can find me at Kane Kittens. And if you want to find me elsewhere on the network, you can hear me on CB Radio with the Greater Than Great Debate, or in about 2 or 3 minutes, because, yeah, we're doing some Fortnite with friends, as well as on Saturdays.
And in terms of him actually plugging himself, that's the Secret Tuesday Night stream. You have to get a password for
It's his OnlyFans account.
It's his OnlyFans account.
Guys, you're not supposed to mention that one.
Well, there you go. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lins Ward, LANSWRD, and don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody, go get you a snack. Go get you a drink. Go do whatever you need to do, because we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be doing Fortnite with Friends, and it is Season 5, guys. It's here. There is no more superhero stuff, and we got a brand new map and brand new characters, and we're going to show you everything there is to see in just a little bit. But till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.